Oh, is that on? Testing. Do I need to just scoot it up a little bit? Can y'all hear me okay? The guy in the back there, can you hear me? All right, good. All right, cool. I can talk pretty loud. Well, I'll ask you a question about the sermon, and then I'll tell you just a little bit about my wife and I. Jesus asked the disciples, you're probably familiar with the story. He said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And some said Elias, some, you know, the prophet. And then Jesus said to Peter, whom do you say that I am? And he was specific. And Peter, of course, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. So I want to ask you that same question. Who do you say Jesus is? So just kind of think about that. Who is Jesus to you? If you had to write an essay about who is Christ, what would be on your papers? How long would it be? So we'll get to that in just a second. So I'm Matthew Aaron, by the way. So I grew up in Dallas, Texas. I'm not a Cowboys fan, so if anyone, you know, hold your tomatoes. So I used to, then I got saved. But my mom's from Louisiana, so I'm an LSU fan, actually. So, you know, we might, you know. Right. Yeah. Arizona. So I'm from Dallas, Texas. I grew up there 18 years of my life. Do what? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, unfortunately. But I grew up there I'd say all my life. We moved to Arkansas for just a little bit to help start a church. My dad did. I helped a man start a church. And then I went to college in Kentucky. And then when I went to college, my parents moved to Tennessee. And my dad took over a church there. And I went to school there. My wife is from California. And she came over. I was a junior, senior. And I met her at a camp before school started, and it was a long story. And, you know, we could write a Hallmark movie if you want to ask us later. But we got married. Yesterday was our first anniversary, so 1 year. Amen. So it was good. Thank you. So, yeah, it's good. Great. My parents actually said it's kind of cool. But so we got married a year ago, and then she had one semester left of college. I finished the semester before. And she finished school, and then we moved to Tennessee for just a few months with my parents, and then are new to the area since October here in Glendale with Pastor Scott Nail. So we want to start a church, not specifically know what area or what for sure. We do want to be soul winners, and that's probably the biggest thing on our heart. And kind of go in our what where we were just at. Well, we only got an hour of sleep, so if I stutter, talk too fast, please forgive me. An hour of sleep was in Las Vegas Airport. And if you've ever been there, I don't think they own a vacuum cleaner. So it was not very pleasant. But her grandmother just moved to Kentucky with her family. And we don't think she's saved. We're not sure exactly. Her mind's starting to slip. Didn't live like it, you know, if she is. God knows. So we went there Tuesday. I was at work at FedEx, and Valentina, and I work at FedEx, so you don't get off for Christmas. But she texted me in the morning and said, "Hey, Grandma's going, she's going down really bad, and they were going to have surgery on her." She wanted to see her one more time, you know, just, you know, in case something did happen, just be able to, you know, and maybe we could be able to give the gospel to her. And so 4 hours later, we got on a plane and flew over to Kentucky, Cincinnati area. And then got to spend some time with her, see her. She's doing better. She's out of the hospital. She's not going to have to have surgery. And I got to witness a little bit to her, but her mind's just not, you know, so we're not sure, you know what would come of that. Pray for her. Her name is Leslie. But it's pretty cool. We went to lead a grandma to Christ, you know, and say hi, you know, last words or whatever. And we didn't get to witness to her. We don't know if, you know, didn't have the opportunity to pray with her. But on the way back, flying to Las Vegas, we went from Cincinnati to Las Vegas to here. There was a grandmother on right next to us, and she's probably 70, and her name escapes me, Lily. And I got to talk to her. I was reading the Bible, and she was asking me about it. And it was a four-hour flight, and we talked about the scriptures the whole way, and she got saved right before she got off. So it's pretty neat. We went for a grandma, but someone's grandma got saved after all. So that was a blessing. But anyways, let's take your Bible. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And also, if you would, we're going to go to Revelation 19. Matthew chapter 1. And let me get through myself. Matthew chapter 1. and then Revelation chapter 19. I'm going to grab some water real quick. All right, here we go. We're going to read verses 21 through 25. And I'll just say this real quick. There's going to be a lot of scripture in the message today. You don't necessarily have to turn to everyone. I'll ask you to turn to one. If you're one of the persons you want to know every verse, just come to me and I could email you this sermon and you could have all the verses. But just for the sake of being able to pay attention, please, you know, I'll let you know if you need to turn there. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. We'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll read in Revelation chapter 19. Father, thank you for your love, God. Thank you that we get to be here, Lord. Thank you for our freedom here in America, God, to be able to gather around the Bible. And the food, the festivities is great, Lord. The games, the skit, Lord. But the most important thing is we have the Bible, we have the scriptures, and some people don't have that. Please be with those nations, Lord, who and those Christians who are under persecution. God, give them grace and boldness and food and help. God, please be with us. Holy Spirit, please have your will and way. Please help everybody that's here to be able to pay attention and to listen. Lord, help me to keep my own attention and speak to our hearts, and please grow us in grace. And in the knowledge of you, Father, please be with us. Holy Spirit, please do a work. Help us to pay attention. Help us to yield to you. And if there's any here that's not saved, Father, and they don't know, they don't have peace, Lord, that that when they die, that they have eternal life. And help them to be able to learn and be able to receive you. And please grant everlasting life, Lord. Please bless. In your name I pray. Amen. So here we have there, Matthew chapter 1, the Christmas story. You know, you've heard it once. You've heard it 1,000 times. How Christ was born of Mary in the manger, and you know, wonderful thing, Christmas, why we celebrate his birth this time of year. It's a wonderful time. You know, my wife and I got married in Christmas. I love it. I love the lights. It's one of my favorite holidays, and the reason, of course, is the best. You know, it's neat to see a world, America, that's against God, actually semi-recognize God during this time of year, and you'll see nativity scenes and different things. It's great. It's wonderful. The birth of Christ, the birth of Jesus, which was to be, you know, like the verse says, to save the people from their sins. But if you go to Revelation chapter 19, and of course this is way after Jesus had lived and died and rose again for our sins, for our redemption. And this is just talking about, I'll go and read, we're going to pick up in verse 5 and we'll go to verse 10. It says, "And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." And I'll read verse 10 in just a minute. Just a background. Here's Revelation, end of the book. All the sorrows, all the tribulation of the Antichrist, all that's taking place, and God's wrath being poured out upon man, the day of the Lord, as prophesied throughout the scriptures. And here's the end of that. The last of chapter 18 deals with the fall of Babylon, spiritual Babylon, and how in 1 hour that great city is brought to naught. I know you've read it. And so chapter 19 opens up after Babylon's fallen, after God's wrath has been poured out, and just rejoicing. Like, finally, God's judgment has been given to man, to sin, to Satan. And here's all the people rejoicing in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then a few verses later, the end of the chapter, Christ is going to come back on the horse, break through the clouds, and then the battle against the devil and his armies. So it's a wonderful moment right here that John gets to see, and I'd love to have seen that. But verse 10, so here's all this going on, and John says, and I fell at his feet to worship him, this person that was escorting him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. And he says this, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He said, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So here, like I said, there's an account of everything that's going on. John the Beloved sees this. He records what's about to happen and what's happening. And he falls down to worship this fellow servant. I don't know if it was an angel or what it was, or if it was a saint. Obviously, he said he had the testimony of Jesus, so probably was another saint. Angels, don't have salvation. But immediately the man stops him, and he makes the following statements. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. So we're going to look at that tonight, the testimony of Jesus. How I asked you earlier, what would you say about Christ? If you had to stand behind the pulpit and tell, hey, what do you know about Christ? So we're going to look in the Bible. What does God have to say about his son? What is the autobiography or the biography of Christ would be like? First there, it says and of thy brethren that had the testimony of Jesus. So here's a man that has the testimony of Jesus. He wasn't Jesus, but he had the testimony of Jesus. In other words, he was labeled. He was saved. He was Christ-like. He was Christian. He was unashamed. So that's the first part. I mean, do you bear the testimony of Jesus in your life? If someone sees you, like the people in Acts, they took account that these men have been with God. Is that something that's evident in your life? Do you have the testimony of Jesus living in your life? Can people see and know that you're saved? And know that you're Christ-like. But we're gonna focus on the last part where it says, for the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. So I just a few minutes, I want to look at three things about what the Bible talks about Jesus. Most of America, most of the world knows Christmas is Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin, and then he died for us. So if you ask after the loss, who is Jesus? Oh, he's the one that died for us, right? He's one that, somehow related to God. But it's so much deeper what Jesus is, and we're going to look at that here. Obviously, the first thing, he is the Lamb of God. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus. Here's John's testimony of Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I spake, of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. So if we look at what is the testimony of Jesus? Well, one, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the one that was in our stead to die on the cross, to die for our sins, to take our punishment. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So Christ is the one that paid the wage. Thankfully, praise the Lord. If you take away the cross, if you take away Christ, we could have church every day and go to hell. You have to have that sacrifice. And so Jesus, what would the Bible testify of Jesus? Well, he'd say in the book of John, he's the Lamb of God. He's a sacrifice. He's the only way to heaven. And we'll get to that in a little bit more later. Secondly, go to John chapter 1. We're going to look at two more things about Jesus. He's the Lamb of God, but also John chapter 1. I love this. I grew up in church. I didn't say that, but I did grow up in church. Sunday mornings, just like y'all. This church here, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, didn't have a choice. I went, right? And I'm glad now looking back. But I knew Jesus, like I said, I was like the world. I knew Jesus was the Son of God, and he's the one that died for our sins. And I knew he was the Son of God, but it wasn't until I was about 17 when I realized what we're about to go over tonight. And you probably know this, but it's neat. There's a lot of verses in the Bible, and we're only going to skim a few of them. That talks about Jesus being the Word of God. And we'll look at that about really in reference to his deity. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And it says, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Look at verse 14. What is he talking about? The Word. And the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh. So the Word is not talking about, an object. It's talking about a person. and the Word's a name. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Sounds like John 3:16, right? The only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. So according to John, again, in verse 1, what's the testimony of Jesus? He's the Lamb of God. He's the one that died for us. What's the testimony of Jesus? Well, He's God. He's the Son of God, but He is God. And I'm going to give you some verses that you could take away. Hey, this is the Bible does teach that Jesus isn't just a brother of Satan or anything foolish like that, or even lower than God. He is God. He's God in the flesh. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. He didn't start in the manger. That was just revealing of Him. But He was in the Old Testament. In fact, the Bible says He was in the beginning. Not the same beginning as Genesis 1:1, but this is the beginning of God. I mean, this is the beginning. This is, you know, you can't go further. You can't rewind anymore. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus was there way before Mary was even thought of, before the manger. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was God in the beginning. And of course, He is God still today. I mean, just listen to a couple of verses. Think about it. Colossians chapter 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father. Obviously, we know the Father's God, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He's talking about Jesus, obviously, in whom we have redemption through His blood. He's the Lamb of God. Even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. According to Colossians, the testimony of Jesus is He's the image of God. He's God in the flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, and without controversy, I love this. You know, you think about the Mormon church, how they deny the deity of Christ. And it, right here, without controversy, shouldn't even be a topic. Great is the mystery of godliness, the Bible says in 1 Timothy. God, God, not the Son of God, it says God, was manifest in the flesh. Who's that? Who's the Word become flesh? Is Christ. Jesus, exactly. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preaching to the Gentiles. Who's preaching to the Gentiles? Not God the Father, God the Son, right? And of course, He said, I and my Father are one. Wonderful. Preaching to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Let's look at another one. Here's Christmas time, Isaiah chapter 9, 6. I don't understand. I typed this verse in. I just typed it in Google today, Isaiah 9, 6. And it had the Mormon church. And it had one of the first, you click Google and it has all these things you can click. And one of the top ones was the Mormon church. And it had this verse, word for word. It was King James word for word, too. Because I was thinking, I'm like, wonder if they use a different version, you know, that would mess up the deity of Christ. But they literally use the King James, and you know it. Isaiah 9, 6, for unto us a child is born. Who's that? Jesus Christ, right? Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name. This name belongs to him. Matthew belongs to me. Wayne belongs to me. Aaron belongs to me. That's me. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So what's the testimony of Jesus? Was he just someone born of Mary, came, you know, God, you know, man sinned. Oh, I got to think of a plan. Let me have a son and send him to earth. No, he was already there. He's the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, but he was God, and he is God, and he's God in the flesh, and he is the mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. I like this. Go to Colossians chapter 1. This is fun. Colossians chapter 1. And this is just some verses, and there's a lot out there, really, if you don't read your Bible, you would think that Christ was a deity. But Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, but think about creation, you know, as a child, hey, who created the world? God, right? Of course. But if you think, I like to go a little deeper, whatever, which God created? Was it God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? You know, as a little child, you're thinking, well, wasn't God the Son? Because, you know, that was Jesus was later. So it must have been God the Father, right? But look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 17. We read the earlier verses just a minute ago. 14 talks about redemption through his blood. So he's talking about Christ. For by him, Christ, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. So this is Jesus, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So what is the testimony of Jesus, the Lamb of God? He is God. He's the creator. He's the one. He was the main use. And I know God was all involved there. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, let us make man, let us in our image. But I think that, you know, the key person that took in the act of creation was the Son of God. It says right there in Colossians. And verse, John chapter 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says all things were created, you know, by Him. So Christ is the creator. That's wonderful. We think of Him today in America, but sometimes we'll honor Him. But people just don't realize, even Hollywood doesn't realize how much power Jesus is. And they say His name flippantly. But this is the creator. This is the one that gave us life. This is the one that gave everything that we see. And it's for Him. All things are created by Him and for Him. So the testimony of Jesus, what is it? He's the Lamb of God. Testimony of Jesus, He is God. He's the creator. And then lastly, I love this. He's the King of Kings. And it's great. And he's coming back. And all the mockery that has been done of Christ throughout the ages will stop. You know, he'll get the last laugh. And it's wonderful. The Bible says in Revelation, I saw heaven open in chapter 19. And behold, a white horse. All the tensions, you know, stop. There's no more video games, no war games, no trash going on at all. There's no Instagram or anything, whatever. There's no football games, no Cowboys, praise the Lord. You know, that was destroyed way early in the tribulation. Sorry. People can get saved, though, Cowboy fans as well. But I'm one of them, so that is true. I can testify. And I saw heaven open. I'm wearing the colors. I better be quiet. Anyways. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. So this is Revelation chapter 19. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. Who is Jesus? He's faithful. Who is Jesus? He's true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called what? The Word of God. The Word of God, verse 13. Sorry, you're not there. I thought you were there. Revelation 19:13. And his name is called the Word of God. It's talking about Christ coming on the white horse. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed upon him, upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who is Christ? He's not just the babe in the manger, which is important. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And one day he's coming, and it's my youth pastor used to say, Jesus is coming, and boy, is he mad. he's coming as a lion, and y'all know that, to rule and reign on earth and to put an end to this foolishness. I love what Nebuchadnezzar said. And I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Lamb of God. That's a testimony. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus is the Lamb of God? He is God. Do you know him? Do you know that he's God? He is the Creator, and he is the King of Kings. And let me kind of applicate this. But why is that important? Why should we study into all this stuff? Why should we know all this about Jesus? And you can go on about the God the Father and God the Son. They're all the Holy Spirit. They're all wonderful and great. But really, it's a command. Think about 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. It says what? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Why should we know the testimony of Jesus? Why should we know more about him? Why should we read the Bible more and more in church and go to church? Because we're commanded to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to know more about Christ. And there's a reason why that. And here it is, point two, because it'll help us worship God more. Of Revelation 19:10 says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. When you know the testimony of Jesus, your worship for God will be a whole lot easier. And it's just like this. If you meet a man, just a random man at a park, you know, just not, you need certain clothes, just random clothes, you know, t-shirt and blue jeans. If you know him, an older man, you're going to just have common respect for him, right? I mean, I would, you know, you should. you know, just, you know, have, you just met him, just common respect, he's an older man, talking to him. But let's say the more and more you get to talk to him, you find out, hey, this man's a veteran. This man served. I actually got to meet a man at, where is it? Don't judge me, Dollywood. We went a few months ago, and they were riding the tram, and they said, and I've just been watching all these World War II documentaries, real things, with my father-in-law, and they said on the tram, hey, there's a World War II veteran at the station when you get back. And this is like 3 months ago. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm just looking at this, and no way, he's going to be like 90-something. And sure enough, he had the hat on, World War II, and, you know, and I ran up to him, got a picture with him, and it was like, you know, hey, that might be the last person I'll ever see like that. But this, so like that guy, you meet a man, you don't know anything about it, you talk to him, hey, this is a veteran. What happens? Your respect grows, right? Your respect for him, it deepens because you know more about him. The more and more you know about Jesus, the more and more you'll want to worship him, as what John said. And that's a part of life. It's not just in church singing songs and hymns. It's at the house. It's by yourself raising your hand to God and praising the Lord and thanking him and singing to him. And the more you know about him, the more you know that he's the creator, that he's true, that he's faithful, the easier it is to worship him. And really, the Bible talks about that. Psalm 48 says this. Listen, he says, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. Someone who's thinking about God. And listen, he says, according to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. I love what he said. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise. You know what helps me praise God more? I just think of his names. How many times is there names of God in the Bible? And just of Christ we saw, Word of God, King of Kings, you know, Lord of Lamb of God. There's so many names, and that helps you. According to that, so is thy praise. So the more you know about God, one, it's a command to know the testimony of Jesus. And second, it helps you worship him more. And thirdly, you won't be ashamed. The more and more you know about the testimony of Christ, the more you'll stand up for him. The more you won't be embarrassed of him. Think about, what does the world have to offer? It's just, I remember growing up, abortion and evolutionists. I used to be so scared of those people. Like, man, they're so smart and scientists. But you know, my wife she loves all that stuff. And getting into it more and more and more, and the more you learn about life and how it comes from God, he's the creator, and the more about creation, it makes those people feel so dumb. It's like, how can you believe that stuff? And I don't know, Bill Nye, whatever, if he was here, I would, no fear at all. Because I know more about the Bible, it helps me to be less ashamed of those things. The more you know about Christ, the more you realize, man, I'm not gonna be ashamed of him. I've been there, right? You're at work, you're at friends. Oh, should I tell them I'm a Christian? You know, should I mention Jesus? Should I pray for my food? Don't be ashamed. Man, this is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's coming back. I'd hate for him to come back and you're questioning whether I should pray for my food or not because someone sees me. You know, I'd hate for him to see me in doubt right there. You know what I mean? But let's look back before I finish. What is the testimony of Jesus? He's the Lamb of God. He is God. He's a creator. He's a King of Kings. Let's look back at the Lamb of God just for a minute. The Bible says in John, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Really, if you miss this, all these other parts don't really matter much. But John says this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Christ, we know he was born to take away the sin of the world. He died, not for his own sins, but for ours. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men, including myself, are sinners. We've sinned. Who hasn't? Who hasn't done bad? We've all done wrong. We've all transgressed God's law. And God is love. God wants no one to go to hell. God wants the best for everybody. But God, just as much as God is love, God is holy. And they can't, they have to agree. One can't outweigh the other. He's love. He made you in his image. He wants to give you eternal life, but he's got to have his sin paid for. And he's got to be holy. And for all of sin, it comes short of the glory of God. You tonight and me growing up, I went to church and I thought I was a good person. And I thought, man, I'm going to heaven. I go to church all the time. What are you talking about? I know Jesus died for me. But I was trusting myself and I would have went to hell if I died as a 10, 11, 12 year old. But because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, whoever you are, whatever your name is, wherever you came from, your skin color, you're a sinner, and you come short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death. I love this. The more and more you read the Bible, the more and more some things stick out. You notice it says in Romans 6:23, for the wages, it's plural, of sin, it's singular, is death. God says the wages, there's two wages for your sin, for your one sin. I don't care, it doesn't have to be murder. One sin, you have two wages. One is death physically, and then second is death forever. think about what our story we're talking about, how John is seeing all this. God used John to write about what's to come, Revelation. So John sees all this in chapter 19. He sees Christ coming back as the King of Kings. And then chapter 20 comes. And what happens there? It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Here's the love of God standing as full holiness before all every person ever created. And he's standing, he's sitting on the great white throne, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. Everyone was in fear, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, doesn't matter where you come from, your wealth, your riches, your righteousness, or filthy rags. Doesn't matter about your morality. It says, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to the words. So at the end of time, there's going to be, everyone is going to be able to stand before God. And God is a judge, remember? And he's going to be on the throne and hear you before him. And he's going to have the books of everything you've ever done, good or bad. It's all going to be written down. There's going to be a lot of books. You're going to be judged. Every single bad thought, every single bad word, whatever is all written down. And really, man, I think about court today, people who are guilty and they get a good lawyer and they get out scot-free, right? You won't be able to do that on the great white throne judgment. You yourself will say, "I'm guilty." I mean, there's no hope. God knows everything you've done. But I love that it says that, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to the words. And the sea gave up the dead. So think about this great white throne and all the people ever created standing before God. Huge theater. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to the words. It says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is what? This is the second death. Remember Romans chapter 6, for the wages, plural, of sin is death. Death physically, death in a place called the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. God's omniscient, right? He knows everything. He knows if a person's name's in the book of life or not. Yet he takes time to look for those names or those people. And of course, they're not there, and they're cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 21, think about it. You, if you're here and you don't know, will I be there? Will I be in that judgment scene? Will I be before God? Will I be judged according to my works and they'll be filthy? Will that be me? Well, Revelation 21:8 has a list of people that'll be there. Let's see if you're there. And I'll go quickly, Pastor. I'm sorry. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving. Anyone ever have doubt on God's word? I can raise my hand there. And the abominable. Anyone ever committed abomination? What is abomination? Something that makes God sick. Sodomy. I've never done that, but I've been proud. And Proverbs says a proud look is abomination. So that's two for me. And murders. I've never killed anybody. But Christ says if you hate your brother without cause, you've murdered him. I've done that before. I had two older brothers. Of course I hated him without cause multiple times. And I was smaller than them. Still am. But that's three for me. And whoremongers. I've never committed adultery. But Christ says whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery in his heart. I've done that. I don't know who hasn't. So there's four there. Sorcerers and idolaters. I've never worshipped the devil. Idolaters, but I have worshipped myself a few times. And all liars. Man, that's six times. Six out of the seven or eight that's there that I'm hit. Are you there? If you were standing before God, would you be one of those people? I'd say near about all of us. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's second death again. That's the price for your sins. For the wages of sin is death. But listen, friend, if this is you, if you can think, man, I don't know if that'll be me or not. I know I've unbelieved. I've done all those things. So, man, if I am there, I'm going to be guilty. If that's you, Christ says this, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God says the gift of God is eternal life. God doesn't want you to have that. Remember his holiness, but his love. So his love bought a gift, and it's called eternal life. Think about Christmas. What a wonderful present. Eternal life. What is eternal life? Well, if this is death and death and death, it's heaven. It's life forever. It's eternal life. You, no matter who you are, can have eternal life. You can live forever in heaven. Not because of your righteousness, because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, not of yourselves. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No man, no church, Catholic church, Mormon church, no works, no religion will ever take a man to heaven. Not of yourselves, not of the church. But you can have it through Jesus Christ our Lord. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us, towards you, in that while we were yet sinners, those things, you know, Revelation 21, Christ died for us. The price for sin is what? Is death. Who paid the price for sin? Jesus, right? The first testimony. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. So Jesus Christ, born of flesh, born of Mary, but always there, always from the beginning, came and died on the cross. And it wasn't just to heal people. It was a perfect plan of God already made for you, for him to redeem us. Because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Your sins cannot be remitted, taken away by any act of religion, but it can be taken away by the shedding of blood. And that shedding of blood was Jesus. Be now justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. We can be saved from hell through him, through the person Jesus Christ. I love 1 John. It says, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. There's that gift again, and eternal life. God hath given to us eternal life. And this life, eternal life, is in his Son. He that hath the Son, the Lamb of God, hath life. If you have Jesus, you have eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you don't have Jesus, but you have everything else, you don't have eternal life. Eternal life in Jesus is like a heads and tails. You can't separate the two. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here you are, you're a sinner. You're on that list. You deserve death and hell. Death physically, and the second death, the lake of fire. But Jesus died in your place. He paid for all your sins. 2,000 years ago, he lived, never sinned. He died. He rose again. He's the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God. And he can give you eternal life. He can take you to heaven. He can forgive your sins. But all you have to do is just simply receive him. John 11:12 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Listen to that. As many as received him. If you make a decision, I want Christ. He died for me, rose again. I want Jesus to save me from my sins, from hell. It says, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. You'll become a child of God, even to them that believe on his name. So Jesus is the door. He's the only way to heaven. There's no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So friend, are you out there? Do you know for sure if you die, you'll go to heaven? Have you ever came to Jesus? Do you wonder, man, will I be there? Hey, you don't have to be there. You don't have to wonder. If you have Jesus, you'll have eternal life. And if you have eternal life, you're not going to stand before a holy God and be judged by your sins because Christ took your place. You can be forgiven. You won't have to be there. You'll be in the stands watching. So you can have eternal life if you just simply receive Jesus. You don't get Jesus by getting baptized. You don't get Jesus by, you know, trying to think of every sin you've done and stop sinning. That'll never happen. You get Jesus by receiving him. I just received him by child Christ. I want you to save me. The Bible, it's real simple. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. I'll end with this illustration. If I come and I knock at your door, you've never met me. I come and I knock at your door and I have a pizza with me, you know, a gift, right? There's my gift. It's not eternal life. I'm not God, but I have a pizza and I'm knocking at the door. You've never met me. Now, if you yell from the inside, go away. Did you receive me or reject me? You rejected me, right? Maybe you were busy. Maybe you didn't have time. Maybe honestly, maybe you had some your kids you had to attend to. So you rejected me, right? So you don't get me, and you don't get my pizza. And if you don't like pizza, whatever else you want to put there, Chick-fil-A. But if I knock on the door, and you hear me, hey, hello, and you don't say go away, but you don't say anything. You've ever been there? Someone's knocking on the door, and you're shh. Turn off the TV. Turn off the lights. Be quiet. I've been the child. My mom told me to be quiet and turn off the TV. You know, whatever. So if I knock on the door and you don't say go away, but you just were quiet and you're shh. Did you receive me or reject me? You rejected me, right? Because am I going to stand there forever? No, I'm not. I'm going to leave. So, but if I knock on the door and you say, hey, come on in. You hear me? And you say, hey, come on in. Well, I'm going to come in. If you invite me, I'm coming in. And hey, here's my pizza. You received me, and I gave you my pizza. So Christ stands at the heart of every man ever created, and he's knocking. Do you hear his voice? You read the Bible. He says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Christ is knocking at the door of your life, and he has eternal life. Have you ever said, go away? Have you ever rejected him? Don't die like that. You'll miss Christ. You'll have hell. Are you here tonight, and you've heard him knocking before, but you've never said anything about it? You've never been busy. Maybe you've been going to church for a while, but you've never stopped and opened the door to Christ. Why don't you today, if you haven't done that, and Christ is knocking at your heart, and he wants to give you eternal life, will you open the door to Christ? Would you say yes to Christ? If you do, it says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, don't just hear his voice, but open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. In Christ says, he'll never leave us or forsake us. So why don't you bow your head, close your eyes, and I'll pray in just a second. But friend, praise the Lord, the testimony of Jesus, the God, the Creator, the King of Kings, but most importantly, he's the Lamb of God, and he's here to take away the sins of the world. If you, wherever you are, I don't know if you want to take this or, okay. Wherever you are, if you say, you know, Brother Matthew, I know Christ is at my heart's door and he's knocking. And I don't know if I've ever let him in. Maybe you have done that. Praise the Lord. Tell others about it. But if that's you, say, Brother Matthew, I've never received Christ. I've heard about Christ, but I've never received him. Well, you could hear about him all day long, but if you don't receive him, you miss him. Would you raise your hand? Would you say, Brother Matthew, I don't know that if I died that I would go to heaven. I don't know if I have Christ. Friend, if you don't have Christ, you don't have eternal life. Would you raise your hand? No one's looking, just me and the pastor. If you say, Brother Matthew, I'm honest before God, if I could raise my hand to God, I don't know that I have eternal life. If that's you, would you raise your hand? If that's you, all you have to do is just call upon him. Christ says he knocks on the door of the heart. All you have to do is receive him. So maybe in your seat, wherever you are, I was by myself when I received Christ. You have the knowledge. Jesus is a Savior. You're the sinner. He's knocking. Will you say yes? Why don't you, in your heart, if you say, Brother Matthew, I'm too nervous to raise my hand, but I want Christ. I want him to save me. Well, then tell him. Why don't you pray something to Jesus, receiving him. Why don't you pray something like this. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. Jesus, come to my heart. I receive you. Be my Savior. Give me eternal life. If that's you and you need to do that, praise the Lord, do that right now. And he'll hear you. He'll give you eternal life. Let's pray and then I'll turn it over to the pastor. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you so much for your testimony. Thank you for giving us the Bible. You didn't have to give us the Bible. You could have left us alone in our sin. But thank you for giving us the scriptures. Help us to, if those who are not saved, help them to receive you as the Lamb of God, as a Savior. Help people here and people, friends that we have in family, my grandmother, Lord, help them to get saved. And Lord, please save the lost. Please help them to get saved. Help them to talk to the pastor or me or whoever else. And tonight, help them to get saved. God, please save. Please work. Please save them. Please, God. And those Christians that are here, Lord, including myself, Lord, that we have you as our Savior. But do we realize who you really are? Are we taking extra time to learn more about you? Lord, if we're not, please forgive us and help us to study the Bible and learn more about you, Christ, more about the Holy Spirit, more about the Father. Help us to grow in grace on purpose. Help us to grow in grace by reading your word and in the knowledge of you, and help us to worship you better. God, thank you for being these things. Thank you for being the King. We love you. In your name I pray. Amen.
If that was a blessing, say